Welcome to the Dietitian Dad Podcast. I am Michael Murphy, father of three, registered dietitian, and your dad when it comes to weight loss, nutrition, and health. No quick fixes or easy answers here, just evidence-based advice to help you permanently change your life.
Welcome in to episode number 53. You know, before I started recording this episode, I looked back at all the previous 52 episode titles because, of course, it's been 2 years and I needed to refresh a little bit on what I've talked about. Sometimes I forget I already covered a topic, and I just want to toot my own horn here. I think that a lot of the episodes I put out, of course, there's good and bad, there's middle, but I hope you've had a chance to at least look through the topics and really listen to some of them. I don't expect everybody to have listened to everyone, but if you have, thank you very much. I really appreciate it if you're a loyal listener. Or if this is your first time hearing this podcast, I really encourage you to go back and listen and review me. Of course, I always ask for that. But go back and listen to them because there's a lot of good stuff in there. In fact, I even saw, I was talking about Ozempic and Wegovy, gosh, over a year ago. And I'm like, at that time, I don't think anybody was really talking about it. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, if you have a chance, go back and listen. But let's turn to this episode. And this episode is going to be kind of fun, as they all are, in my opinion. I have some really interesting opinions on some weight loss topics that I want to share with you. I also want to go into what's going on online, especially on TikTok and Instagram and even Facebook, in terms of this battle between nutritionists, dietitians, surgeons, doctors, experts, non-experts, naturopaths that's happening online that I personally can't get away from. Of course, the algorithm delivers the goods to me, and you may not see it as much as I do, but I want to dive a little bit into what we're seeing online in a minute. And just an upcoming episode alert, speaking of Wegovy and Ozempic and Mounjaro and tirzepatide and semaglutide and all these different terms you've heard over the last few months, there is now another class of medications coming out, and they're probably going to be in pill form. And I want to dive into that in upcoming episodes. In fact, it might be the next episode. I'm lining up a guest, so I also might have that one. But rest assured, we're gonna dive a little bit deeper. I'm going to do a lot more research on these medications for you, so stay tuned for that. But I want to talk about something I consider a battle. And I just came up with these randomly, but the battle is, you've heard of Quest protein bars. Well, there's Quest, like potato chips, Quest chips. I don't know if you can call them potato chips. Quest chips and protein muffins, which are pretty popular, versus like Ruffles and, let's say, donuts. You know, there's a big dichotomy or a difference between those two things. They're kind of the same, but they're much, much different. The chips, the Quest chips, the protein muffins are when somebody's being, quote, good, and the Ruffles and the donuts are when somebody's being, quote, bad when it comes to eating. And, of course, if you listen to me, you know I hate classifying someone as eating good or bad ever. Now, before I get into my opinion, I want to say that many of my patients and my clients enjoy eating Quest chips because they have protein in them, or enjoy tooling around in the kitchen and baking treats with protein powder and applesauce as a fat replacement, and you know, all sorts of different things that they're doing to save calories. And I don't discourage that at all. In fact, sometimes I even encourage it. I find nothing wrong with it. I want to make that clear before I dive into what I'm about to say. But what we're seeing is a person who is on a weight loss journey, whether it be through weight loss surgery or on their own or any other way, they're turning towards these other options, these fake chips, these fake, whatever you want to call it, fake ice cream, for instance. I mean, fake is a kind of a general term here. Basically, a take on a junk food that now has protein in it or has a way of lowering the calories. And again, these are fine. But what I'm seeing a lot is nobody gets excited, in my opinion. Very few people get excited when they're about to eat some Quest chips. Some exceptions. I have talked to some patients who enjoy them. I've had them, and they really do taste bad, in my opinion. And I can't see somebody wanting to eat them very long. Of course, there's always a few exceptions. So if somebody has a craving for a chip, and they're trying to lose weight, so they're going to go, okay, well, I'm going to eat Quest chips. They have more protein in them, and they're a better option than your standard Lay's or Ruffles potato chips, and I see you baked Lay's. We all know you aren't as good either. It becomes a question mark of, is it better long-term to indulge in the regular version of the food that could be higher in calories versus the less calories, higher protein version, but it's just not normal. I mean, a chip is not supposed to be high in protein. So it becomes a matter of what's the better option for long-term success. So again, I'm not pro or really con, and I should take a stand here, but it's not something someone, a dietitian like myself, really needs to take an opinion or a stand on, because it is kind of what works for the individual. But if we look at the nutritional facts in the same amount serving of Quest chips versus, let's say, Ruffles chips, you're going to have about 140 calories for the Quest versus about 180 calories for the Ruffles. And, of course, along with the Quest comes about 12 grams of protein, where the Ruffles has, let's say, 2 to 3 grams of protein. So there could be some argument that, yes, the Quest chips, although may not taste as good, they could allow you to feel satiety or satiated longer than, let's say, eating the Ruffles. And because the Quest chips, in an ironic twist, don't taste as good, you tend to not want to continue to eat them. So they satisfy that. You can kind of get your salt and your fix for a chip, eat the portion, and move on, whereas maybe the Ruffles would be harder to put down. So the Quest chips do something for you. And they are convenient, and they're quick and easy, and it's a great, anytime you could find a new protein source to take with you, not a bad idea to utilize them. And when you look at something like a homemade protein muffin that somebody maybe found a recipe on Pinterest and took the time to bake these muffins, you know, of course they're not going to taste as good. I mean, we have to admit that. And that's fine. Somebody who is really focused on their nutrition and they're really motivated to eat a little bit differently and sacrifice taste, again, it's fine. But when we look at most people, it comes down to when do you have to sacrifice the enjoyment of food to make sure you lose weight versus if you just stay within a certain amount of calories, understanding you may have to eat a little bit less bites, of course, because there's more calories in the Ruffles versus the Quest chips, but you could still lose just as much weight doing that. It might be something to explore. Now, listen, I'm not encouraging anybody to stop doing, let's say, these Quest chips and bars and all these things if they're doing them. But I also want those who are listening who feel like they have to do those things to lose weight and it's just part of life, I want you to realize it's not and understand that you can change that if you feel like you're kind of caught in a prison cell of protein shakes and bars and the Quest chips and all the other things that are kind of on that weight loss category. So if that is you, I'm here to tell you to take another look at your diet, take another look at what you're eating. And if you find yourself relying too much on those things, there's a world of food out there for you that is flavorful and tastes good. And of course, if you're good in the kitchen, you know what I'm talking about. But even sweet foods, even baked goods, salty snacks, there's a lot of options. And when I work with clients, of course, we work on ideas for those options as replacements if my client is, for instance, sick of Quest chips. Now, there's a lot of different donuts, a lot of different protein muffins, and there's a lot of different calories. But, you know, if you're talking about a basic donut, a sugary donut that provides very little nutritional value but provides a ton of happiness to the person that likes the donut, that there's something to be said for that versus eating kind of a sawdust-tasting protein muffin. And there might not be a big difference in total calories between a small donut and a protein muffin anyway. And if the person is able to get their protein needs met through chicken breast, eggs, you know, your standard proteins versus proteins that are added to something, then that's a better thing anyway. Okay, so the takeaway here is if you feel you're lost in the world of supplements and refined protein products, I'm here to tell you, you don't need them. If you're somebody who enjoys consuming them, finds them convenient, going on vacation, you can grab them. Of course, you are welcome to do so. And there's nothing wrong with utilizing these foods when, especially when you are on a vacation or when you are on the go and you're really busy. Nothing wrong with that. But again, if you find yourself trapped, I'm here to tell you there's a way out. All right, let's turn the attention to the second topic of this podcast, and that would be something I find very interesting. If you are somebody who is on TikTok, hopefully you follow me, Dietitian Dad. If you're on Instagram, most people are these days. And what we're seeing is, for instance, if I say Dr. Ids, IDZ, Dr. IDZ, you might know him right away. You might know exactly who I'm talking about, or you may have no clue what I'm talking about. But what he does is he takes on people that spout ridiculous nutritional claims, and he'll show a piece of that video, and then with evidence, he will show how wrong they are, and he will shame them and basically call them out. And oftentimes what you'll see is that creator who's called out will then start arguing back with him in the comments and saying how wrong he is and how he's just a shill for the industry and pushing drugs. And then he'll come back and say, no, I don't push drugs. I push regular old nutrition. And you know, he seems like a great guy. And he really does seem that he has the best interest of the people that he serves, especially online. You know, he has a lot of followers, and I enjoy him. I think he has a lot of great things to say. And there's a lot of dietitians on there, too, that do the same thing. They'll find somebody who says something ridiculous, and they'll simply debunk whatever it is they're saying. Like, a lot of times you'll see some non-health experts with great, you know, physiques in a grocery store, and they'll point out all the ingredients that are in Goldfish and all the junk, quote unquote, that they think is in there, and how it's really harming us, and you know, they'll go after anything that's for kids, like the sugary drinks, the Capri Suns. I mean, on and on it goes. I mean, there's just so many of them out there, but it gets a following. If you're somebody who is trying to make money, I don't even know how they make money, but if they get more followers by saying ridiculous things, who knows? You know, there's no repercussions there except being shamed by a Dr. Ids. And that's not fun, but they probably don't even care. It probably results in even more viewers and more views and more followers for them. But sometimes it can get a little bit dangerous. They might have, a lot of times you'll see them involving children and showing how, like, there'll be a mom who will show their daughter at the grocery store how this food should not be consumed because of look at the ingredients. And you can get into a gray area where that could lead to eating disorders and kids being afraid of foods and all that good stuff. And I'm really, really against that. And anybody who calls them out, please do that. As far as me, I'm not really in the business of calling people out. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not trying to be the superhero. I'm not trying to be the good guy, because what it comes down to is you have then the halos hovering over the people that call them out. And then, of course, the pitchforks, envisioning the pitchforks and these people that are considered the bad people, the ones who are trying to hurt you, but in a way they're telling you not to eat a food because they think it could harm you. But then they're being looked at as someone who is spewing their negative comments on food. So it really has become, I think, a problem online. I'm going to play you a quick clip of Dr. Ids on Instagram, one of his videos where he's just playing a bunch of people spouting these things. It's very interesting.
This is the type of content you're exposed to on social media every day.
You've been told that all vegetables are good for you. That is bullshit.
Cereal is probably the worst way you can possibly start your morning.
Calories don't matter when you're on a carnivore diet. They just don't.
Gluten is inflammatory, which is why I stay away from wheat flour.
Please stop drinking tap water.
Let's talk about why dairy is just not good for you and may actually be dangerous.
And quite frankly, it's only getting worse.
And he goes on to talk about how any false information or novel-sounding information is far more likely to go viral. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on behind all the things you just heard being said by people that were not health experts by any means. So go follow Dr. Ids. It's DR_IDZ. And go watch some of his videos. They're very good. Again, science-based information, you know, backed up with studies. He's pretty, seems like a really smart person. Really smart guy. But the biggest problem with this type of, you know, argument is that we have the good versus the bad. And what we should try to do, at least, is find the ones or find the people that are at least semi-educated who are saying that, for instance, seed oils are inflammatory, and that's a pretty triggering comment for us dietitians and health experts, because the studies don't prove that, but there are people that do believe that, and that you should stay away from seed oils like canola oil or vegetable oil. And, you know, getting together and having a discussion on those two things is something I'd love to see more of online. So you'd have a Dr. Ids do maybe a live with somebody who is a doctor who has evidence that maybe these seed oils are anti-inflammatory and they shouldn't be used as much. You know, it's the same wishful thinking of me, people bringing the sides of the political spectrum more together to argue their points, but we never see that either. So, you know, it would be nice to see. But as far as what you're seeing online, everything you should take somewhat with a grain of salt. Follow the people that you trust. Usually, like I think people trust me the longer I've been online, and the more you listen to my podcast, you know, you tend to have a sense for who you can trust online and who's a little bit fishy and who's asking for you to, you know, buy something that's kind of wacky, selling a program, whatever it may be. There's nothing wrong with selling things, but if you're just selling some junk, it becomes apparent why the person wants you to follow them and listen. And they'll say whatever it takes to get you to follow. So in a way, I'm kind of sick of it all. I'm not mad at these nutritionists and doctors for fighting back against false information. In fact, they're good. I mean, that's a good thing that they're doing, but they also do a good job of, you know, really putting the halo over their own heads sometimes. And it becomes almost like they're too good, and you tend to, you know, trust them too much. So just be careful who you listen to, who you follow, and who's using evidence-based and science-based studies to back up their claims. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Hey, I was visited by a local station here in Phoenix, Channel 12 News, a week ago. And they interviewed me on a supplement called berberine, which is being called Nature's Ozempic. That is posted on my social media accounts. You can go watch that segment that I did with them. I thought that was very interesting. But other than that, you guys hopefully are having a great summer. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode for you. Like I said, I'm lining up a really good guest that I'm hoping to get for that. So stay tuned for that. And like I said in the beginning, go back and listen to some of the old episodes if you haven't heard them all. And reach out to me on social media if you have any questions. I always answer all my DMs. All right, everybody, take care.
Follow me on Instagram and TikTok at dietitian_dad while you wait for the next episode to drop. And remember, permanent changes lead to permanent results.